بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم went to Medina, when he migrated to Medina, the first thing that he did was not to build his house, was not to do anything personal. The first thing that he did was to build a masjid. The first place he reached was Quba. He built a masjid there, and then he built what we know today as Al-Masjid An-Nabawi Sharif. So when he came there, he stayed in the house of Abu Ayyub Al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, who was also related to him because through his mother, because he was from the Banu Najjar. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam built Masjid An-Nabawi. There are beautiful stories related with how all this happened, but I am not going into that now. I want to focus on one point, which is, what was the reason? Why did he build the Masjid first? Because he built the Masjid first because the purpose of the Nabi was to create the Ummah. The purpose of the Nabi was to create one people based on faith. The Ummah, which is based on faith, not on nationality, not on race, not on culture, not on commonality of language, but on faith. Today, for example, take India. There are two or three major mistakes that the people who wrote the constitution and who were in charge of the independence of India from the British, who made colossal mistakes which we are paying for. But in my view, the biggest mistake they made was the linguistic division of this country. States were formed on the basis of language. And that is why today, no matter who says what, no matter what PR stuff is going around, no Indian thinks of himself as an Indian. You can talk till the cows come home, doesn't change that. The Kashmiri thinks he's a Kashmiri based on the language he speaks. The Punjabi thinks he's a Punjabi based on the language he speaks. The Bengali thinks he's a Bengali based on the language he speaks. The Telugu and the Tamil and the Malayali and the Kannadiga and Odia, whoever. And the reason is because in the name of, I don't know how this came into, in the name of forming one country, they divided the country on the basis of language. This was the worst possible thing that could have been done, and this is the root cause today of our division as a people. There are no Indians. There are no Indians. Carrying a passport does not give you nationality. It's the feeling in your heart. And the feeling in the heart of the Indian is, I am from my state, of my people who speak my language. It's not even religion. Because I know in Tamil Nadu and Canada and Karnataka and Kerala specifically, also in Punjab as well as in Bengal, it doesn't matter what religion you are. As long as you speak the language, you are one of them. You speak Malayalam, you are a Malayali. Including names. In Kerala, two of the most common names are Kunji Krishna and Kunji Muhammad. Small Krishna and Small Muhammad. Exactly, the nomenclature is the same. Right? The reason I am saying this is because Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not make this mistake. He did not say all the Arabs here, all the Abyssinians there, in the Arabs, all the Quraysh here, and all the Banu Najjar here, and all the Aus here, and all the Khazraj here. He didn't say all this. He said what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budun. Verily, this ummah of yours is one ummah, this brotherhood is one ummah. And why is it one ummah? Because I am your Rabb. Jalla jalla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored this ummah by saying, why are we one? Because I am your Rabb. Not because you are wealthy and this one is poor and that one has money, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Rabb. Whether the person whoever that person is. No matter the differences, they worship only one Rabb, Jalla Jalaluhu. They have only one Nabi, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They have only one Kitab, Al-Quran Al-Kareem. To reinforce this point, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam built Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi Al-Sharif. And to reinforce this point, he formed the Ummah, he formed the Brotherhood of the Ansar and the Muhajirun. Now, there are two critical elements that happened here, without which this formation of Ummah cannot happen. And unfortunately, this lesson was forgotten very soon after Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, which is why we again got divided and we remain divided. And these two things are to accept difference, to accept differences between us, and to forgive each other. These are the two critical factors. Accept the differences that there are between us. As long as you say, why can't you be like me, you will never be one. You will never be one. You have to say, Alhamdulillah, you are not like me, and this is a beautiful thing. I am myself, you are yourself, you are different, I am different, I appreciate this difference. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran in Surah Al-Hujurat. The issue of differences. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have formed you into qabaila, into different tribes, into different people, لِتَعَرَفُ, so that you recognize each other, so that you appreciate each other. And the second one is, we have to learn to forgive each other. The requirement of forgiveness is that something wrong should have been done. Yes? Otherwise, how will you forgive? You did nothing wrong. Supposing I say to Babbi, you know, I forgive you. For what? He didn't do anything. What is there to forgive? But if he does something, and then you say, Alhamdulillah, he's my brother. Khalas, no problem. I made the mistake. So what? I forgive you. That is forgiveness, because many times people say, no, but you know, he did this. That is why you are forgiving. Eh? You are forgiving because something wrong happened. That this is what we expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which one of us will go to Allah and say, Allah, you see, I am perfect. But however, anyway, forgive me. Are we going to say this? No. We say, Allah, I am full of stuff. What I should have done, I did not do. What I should not have done, I did. What I should have done, even when I did that, it was not fit to be presented before you. It was the good. We prayed Alhamdulillah Salatul Fajr, which we are supposed to do. Bismillah Ta'ala, by the grace and the majesty and glory of Allah, we prayed Salatul Fajr by Jama'ah in the masjid. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. But can any of us say that my salah today is perfect, absolutely, this can be presented to Allah? No. We say, Allah, even with all this, please accept. Please forgive us. We prayed, but please forgive us. So the point is these two things, which is accepting of difference and forgiveness. These are the two critical things which form the Ummah, and the Ummah is based on one Rabb. Yesterday I said Rasulullah ﷺ is coming home. Today I will say Rasulullah ﷺ is coming to our masjid. Seriously, think about this. Today I am saying that inshallah Rasulullah ﷺ will walk through that door and he will enter the masjid. What will he see? Will he see the atmosphere of the masjid that he built? Will he see the black man and the white man and the Arab man and the this man and the that man all sitting together? Will he see people talking to each other as if they are not just blood brothers but more than that? Will he see halakas of dhikr and halakas of tilawatil Quran and teaching and learning? Will he see people sitting together and talking about the welfare of the community and welfare of others, even people who are not Muslim, sitting together and saying, this is a problem in our community, how do we solve it? What are we willing to do? Will he see this? Yesterday somebody sent me an audio recorded by the head of Oberoi Hotels, where he's talking about a free medical treatment for poor people in private hospitals. So he says, call this number, anyone you know. He says, we need your help. So when I heard this, we need your help, I thought now he's going to say, please donate, so and so. You know what he's saying? He's saying, we need your help, find poor people and send them for free treatment. He says there are, and he's talking about Delhi NCR area, he's saying there are 600 something beds available every day. So what help does he want? He doesn't want money. He said, help us by sending poor people who do not have the ability to get medical treatment. They do not have to spend one single rupee. They will get the finest treatment in the best hospitals. Hindu people. I'm not saying no Muslims are doing these things, but I don't know who is doing. This is what, so if Rasulullah ﷺ walks in here, if Rasulullah ﷺ hears the Khatib making the speech, what speech is he going to hear? Is he going to hear a speech saying that, you see, we are Barelvis, we are Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah because we have taken this title for ourselves and everyone else is a kafir and that fellow is a Wahhabi. Na kya wala mar gaya mardood na fatiha na durood kate tashahud mein kya pad raha hone durood nahi pad raha kaisa bolte hai isi baat. And then you have the other Salafi who says all these Barelvis will be in Jahannam, and then you have some other Hanafi who says he will not pray behind Shafi, and the another Shafi who will say he does not pray behind Hanafi. Is he going to hear this? If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam walks into the masjid, is he going to hear the Khatib saying these things? Our Khatibs are not saying these things. Am I exaggerating? We have Khatibs who are saying all of this and more and worse. If Rasulullah ﷺ walks in, we have masajid with the notices, with plaques saying, this masjid so and so, do not enter. Tablighi Jamaat, do not enter. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam walks into our masajid, what is he going to see? Is he going to see one ummah? Or is he going to see divisions? Poor and rich. A poor man comes and stands next to you, say, he stinks. He stinks because he's doing an honest day's work. You don't stink because you're sitting on your backside in an air-conditioned office, because Allah gave you that. Is he going to see this? Did the Sahaba sweat? Did their sweat smell? Of course it did. Find me one narration anywhere, in any kitab, where one Sahabi complained that the other one was smelling. They had no sense of smell, is it? Not only did they work hard in the sun, they lived in a land where water was not easily available. There was the whole issue of having a bath every day was not a common thing. They were poor people. They didn't have, you know, deodorants and whatnot. I'm not saying don't use deodorants. I'm saying there are people who are doing a hard day's work. They don't have deodorants. They can't afford them. But they are Muslim. Alhamdulillah, they're standing next to the Saf. How do we treat them? How do the masjid committees, which are formed of the wealthy people in society, alhamdulillah, Allah gave them good tawfiq, so they are spending money to build masajid and so on and so forth. But then shaitan comes in and arrogance comes in and they treat the imam like a servant. They treat the muezzin like the servant's servant. They want to stand behind the imam and control the imam. What kind of thing is this? If Rasulullah ﷺ walks into our masjid, what is he going to see? I am requesting all of you, please sit down, reflect, think, and make your masajid such that if Rasulullah ﷺ walks into the masjid, he will be extremely happy. He will say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And he will make dua for your masjid, inshallah. This is the meaning of Nusrat to the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu made dua for people like this. Allahumma mansur man nasara deen Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Waghzul man khazala deen Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He made dua both ways. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to live our lives in a way which is pleasing to him, which means, which is according to the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, both internally within ourselves, within our homes, within our masajids, within our societies, so that we create this beautiful vision and this beautiful picture of Islam, which will attract people towards Islam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.